We praise Allah and we bear witness there is no deity but Him, and that Muhammad is His prophet and apostle. And we thank Allah for the blessing of guidance to him and to his religion. And we praise him and thank him for revealing the Quran, our book, and our guide and our way. My dear brethren, in a few minutes we'll try to visit the Quran. One of the things we do with the Quran is to read it. And this is a charity. But more important is to understand it and think of it and ponder it. God says in the Quran, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Do not they ponder on the Quran and reflect on it? Or are the locks bolted upon the hearts? And God says in the Quran, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Do they not ponder on the Quran? Had it been from other than Allah, they would have found great discrepancies in it. Let us go to the day when the Quran was first revealed. When Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam was meditating in the cave, and then Angel Gabriel came to him and grasped him tightly and said, "Read." But the Prophet was not a lettered man. He was not literate. And he couldn't read, and he said, "I am not a person who reads." But the angel repeated that until at last the first verses of the Quran were revealed. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. Read in the name of your Lord. Your Lord who has created man from a sticky material. Read, and your Lord is the most gracious, who has taught with the pen, taught man what man didn't know. Reflecting here, we see that the Prophet was not a literate man. He could not read or write even his own language. And twice in the Quran, he was mentioned and described as the non-lettered. الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ النَّبِيَّ الْأُمِّيَّ الَّذِي يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ. Those who follow the non-lettered prophet, whom they found written in their books, the Torah and the Gospel. آمنوا بالله ورسوله النبي الأمي. Believe in Allah and His Messenger, the non-lettered prophet. Therefore, being non-lettered, it was logic that the Quran would be revealed in the same language, the same tongue of the Prophet. And the Quran says, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا. We have made it an Arabic Quran. إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا. We have sent it down an Arabic Quran. Because the Prophet was an Arab and he was not a schooled person. And we know there is no inconsistency in the Quran, because God does not contradict himself. And yet, that prophet who was not educated, and for whom the Quran therefore had to be in Arabic, فَإِنَّمَا يَسَّرْنَاهُ بِلِسَانِكَ. We gave you the facility of sending this book in your own tongue. This Arabic Quran, revealed to the Arabic prophet, who knew no other language, and didn't know even to read and write in his own. And yet the same Quran addresses the prophet saying, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا. Say, O mankind, I am the messenger of Allah to all of you. And the Quran addresses the Prophet, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَّةً لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا. We have sent you, but universally, to mankind, a giver of glad tidings and a dispenser of warnings. And Allah addresses the Prophet saying, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have sent you for none else but mercy to the worlds, including all mankind. Now ponder the Quran. On the one hand, there is a book in Arabic that had to be in Arabic because the Prophet knew none but Arabic. And on the other hand, God tells him, your mission is to mankind, all the worlds. Is there a conflict here? Is there an inconsistency here? Is there a contradiction? And we know that God does not contradict himself. The bridge between both, the bridge between an Arabic Quran, an Arabic prophet who speaks no other tongue, and the message which is to all mankind, of all colors, of all races, of all languages, is you, my brethren. This is the bridge between the Arabic side and the universal side. The Prophet didn't speak other tongues, but you do speak other tongues, and you are that bridge. Because the Quran does not contradict itself. The bridge between the one tongue of the Prophet and the multilingual mankind is you, my dear Muslim brethren. Because God gave you the key. If you look up the Quran again, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُو إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةً أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. Say, this is my way. I call to Allah upon clear vision, I and those who follow me. So the prophethood came to Muhammad, but the da'wah came in partnership. It had to be Muhammad and those who follow him. The earlier ones were his direct companions, those who fled with him and those who received him. وَالسَّابِقُونَ السَّابِقُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ. Those were the first partners in the transmission of the da'wah. But the Quran immediately says, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ. the early vanguard of Islam, the Muhajirin who fled Mecca with the Prophet, and the Ansar who rallied to their support and received him, those were the early vanguard, but the Quran says, and those who in grace follow them. And this is how you fit in, my dear brothers and sisters. Because Muhammad was sent to all mankind, but there are much more of mankind today who know nothing about Islam than even in the days of Muhammad, and there is where you come in, my dear brothers and sisters. Would you say we are busy? No. This wouldn't be accepted. In his days, the days of the Prophet, came people who also said to him, we were busy. سَيَقُولُ لَكَ الْمُخَلَّفُونَ مِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ شَغَلَتْنَا أَمْوَالُنَا وَأَهْلُونَا فَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَنَا. Those of the Arabs who lagged behind will come and tell you, we were engaged in catering for our possessions and our affairs and our families. So please ask for our forgiveness. But this is not an exemption. Would you say, and who are we to proclaim that great message? Who are we to address mankind? Who are we to influence the events? People said it before you. وَاذْكُرُوا إِذْ أَنْتُمْ قَلِيلٌ مُسْتَضْعَفُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ تَخَافُونَ أَنْ يَتَخَطَّفَكُمُ النَّاسِ فَآوَاكُمْ وَأَيَّدَكُمْ بِنَصْرِهِ. Remember then, when you were few, and you were oppressed, and you were frightened lest people would go and kidnap you, but God gave you shelter and gave you succor. The same procession goes on since the time of the Prophet, except that the Prophet ﷺ died, leaving no church and no clergy, but leaving the Muslims. And if you think that Islam is to be taken, then you are selfish. Islam is to be taken and to be given. God gives you the light, and it is your responsibility that the light will brighten up the darkness. God addressed you not as nations in a mosque, but as a nation in the world. God made the Prophet a witness upon you. He declares and proclaims, and we report to you who would answer him. But God also made you a witness over the other nations. You will call them, and you will put your report who answered and who rejected. And this is your duty, my fellow Muslims. It is not to worship only in the meaning of prayer and fasting and almsgiving. It is to pray in order to keep your contact with the mains. Unless that contact is established, you are a dead wire without electricity in it. But you have to keep connected to the mains so that the flow pervades you and flows through you, and so that you touch the lamp and it shines, and the radio and it speaks, and the television and it performs. You worship, you pray, you meditate, you read the Quran, you fast, you give zakat, etc. In order to keep contact with the mains. You do that in your home or in the mosque, but you are the nation concerned with out there. And Islam is not only in there. If you keep Islam or think it is only in there, then you have put Islam in a prison. But you come here in order to go out. You come here to charge your batteries. And in this critical time in history, where the majority of the world are reviewing the history, where tomorrow is in the blueprint today, and you live in a country which shapes that blueprint,
Will the moral come with the Muslims, the third world, the oppressed, the ignorant, the fighting, the hateful, the disunited? Or will we do something in order to shape events and to share and participate in the making of tomorrow? Everyone now is happy for the winds of freedom that blow over the universe. And you should be the first to be happy for that, because the message of Islam is freedom. The message of Islam is to free people from the tyranny of other people, and to free people from the tyranny of their moods and desires and instincts. Islam is for freedom. The atheists would come and say religion is against freedom because it is full of do's and don'ts. But our first lesson in religion is that God created the human race so that for a change there will be a race responsible for what they do, accountable for it, and there will be no stand for accountability unless I am free. So freedom is the first lesson we learn from Islam. And you should go out and preach this. When people side against Islam, when you read the press and you find that it was as if the referee is refereeing a football match but seeing one team and is completely blind to the other. I tried in the LA Times to find a wounded Azerbaijani. There was none. All the wounded were Armenians. All the atrocities happened to Armenians. All the tyranny fall upon Armenians. Well, the media, the West, have the legacy of prejudice against Islam. But should we blame them? Have we Muslims been always a good representation of Islam? Have we Muslims been always a good propaganda for Islam? And given the current situation, the baseline is that they are prejudiced against Islam. Are we to do something about that or not to do anything about that? If we opt not to do anything about it, then we have left the future of humanity to be redrawn in our absence without any participation. And if we opt to do something about it, and something we should do, what are we to do? Are we to declare war on the West? We will not win that war. Are we to curse them day and night? I don't think this will solve problems, it will add to the problems. The only solution is to go out, not to make them Muslims, but to make them understand Islam as it is. To dispel the myths that they have made and we have made, that lie between their eyesight and true Islam. It is to go to them, it is to invite them, it is to take our literature to them, it is to take our video cassettes and our audio cassettes to them, it is to invite them for a cup of tea, it is to go out to the world and tell them the reality about Islam is this and that. It is up to them to be Muslims or not, but it is up to us if they know about Islam or don't know about it. And their knowledge about Islam is our responsibility.